Chapter 8, Bless the Broken Road. Despite, or maybe because of, the impending end to their solitude, Remus dropped back down to kiss Sirius, which, of course, led to Sirius underneath him, still not quite dressed. Sirius was more than halfway to getting Remus naked again when the alerting bark of a dog interrupted them. He heard the front door open with the scurry of dog paws on the hardwood floors, and Sirius froze, his breath caught in his throat, though he wasn't sure why. It wasn't like he'd snuck in after curfew or anything. He and Remus were adults.
"It's my ma,"
Remus rumbled into Sirius's neck.
"I ought to help her with those groceries."
"I'll help too,"
Sirius insisted, desperate to feel useful. He dressed quickly and was terribly pleased when Remus handed him a shirt that was not the one Sirius had shown up in. This one was black with the neon moon logo splashed across the front. It was wonderfully soft and smelled divine. Like Remus. His hair was still pretty damp, so Sirius fished a hair tie out of his pocket and put it up on a ponytail. He'd deal with the weird crease later. Remus kissed the newly exposed back of his neck and pressed his semi into the curve of his arms.
"Told you, I like how you look in my clothes,"
Remus said from behind Sirius. He kissed the back of Sirius's head before reaching around him to open his bedroom door. Sirius was excited to see his friends, but walking out into the open felt like the end to their perfect moment, the popping of this idyllic bubble where nothing else existed beyond their two physical forms. And he didn't want it to pop, didn't want this perfect moment to end, to have to share it or Remus with anyone else.
"Thank you, boys, I really appreciate your help."
As they came down the stairs, Sirius saw James and Peter enter the house with armfuls of brown paper grocery bags. Several canvas totes also hung from James's forearms, stuffed full with whatever Hope had bought. There was a massive smile on James's face that only turned brighter when Lily came in with Flo and Mary, each cradling a tiny kitten. Sirius left them alone for all of 6 hours and they'd already replaced him with strays. Honestly. Remus's hand didn't leave the small of Sirius's back until they reached the bottom landing. Remus approached his mother and fondly kissed her cheek.
"That everything?"
Hope nodded.
"Yes. James and Peter got it all in one trip. They're so strong."
James beamed under her praise and flexed his enormous biceps.
"Two trips is for quitters."
He and Peter unloaded their cargo in the kitchen, and Hope waved off their insistent offers to help her put it all away.
"I'm sure Remus has a use for free labor,"
she teased, her eyes bright as she looked at her son.
"I'm fine here, but thank you."
Hope turned to Mary, Flo, and Lily and took over holding the kittens. At Remus's raised eyebrow, she shrugged, undeterred.
"A woman was selling them in the parking lot on the back of her truck with no water or food or anything, Katiste. I couldn't just leave them, Remus."
"But we've already got like 10 cats."
"And now we have 13.
Hope said briskly, and that was the end of that.
"Now, shoo,"
she bid, smiling.
"I'll let you know when dinner is ready."
Remus looked like he wanted to argue a bit more about the cats, but he just nodded and smiled and led the group of them back outside. Now unobscured by the groceries, Sirius got a good look at his friends. Sirius both could and could not believe James. He'd somehow managed to procure light wash starched denim jeans, a maroon and gold pair of Western boots, a maroon pearl snap button-up shirt with an embroidered yoke, and a black cowboy hat, in a matter of hours between their early morning confessional and the trip up here. Lily, next to him, and dressed normally in jeans and a blue vest, looked amused and terribly in love with James, and Sirius's love for her grew about 3 sizes with that look. James was grinning from ear to ear, all teeth and squinty eyes behind his glasses, and he didn't hesitate before dragging Sirius in for a bear hug.
"You smell like Remus,"
James teased, tugging on Sirius's ponytail. He pulled back and smiled up at Remus.
"Brought your stuff back since Sirius left it all at the hotel. Don't worry, Sirius. Alice and Frank packed you up because we all figured you wouldn't be back in time to do it yourself."
While James passed Remus a patterned tote bag and Remus dug through it, Sirius's heart plummeted to the pit of his stomach. Fuck. Tomorrow was Thursday, which meant the day after, he was leaving. flying back across the world to a place he desperately did not want to be. What would be waiting for him in London? 2 weeks' worth of mail, a cold, stale, sterile clean flat, and the utter disdain of his mother and father. Regulus was there, sure, and that was all well and good, but it wasn't as if they hung out. They saw each other maybe twice a month lately now that Regulus was doing better and demanding independence. He'd be going back to a place where he wasn't needed, which was almost as bad as not being wanted.
"Thanks, James,"
Remus said, and Sirius didn't think he was imagining the sorrowful drop in his voice, either.
"But this..."
A light weight dropped onto Sirius's hair as Remus placed his cowboy hat on Sirius's head.
"You gotta keep it."
"Because I earned it,"
Remus snorted.
"Nah, so you have a reason to keep coming back."
Sirius started to form words, started to protest and tell Remus that he'd been serious about making the flight, about putting in the work to see him, but James's pure glee overwhelmed his stumbling proclamations.
"This is so fucking cute, Lil. See? I told you. Look."
James gestured at Sirius and Remus wildly. Lily, lips pressed together in a thinly veiled smile, looked.
"Alice and Frank had to stay behind,"
she said instead of anything else, and Sirius's dread doubled. James must have told her. Lily didn't approve.
"One of their patients is in crisis, and they're on a flight back now."
While Sirius would have liked to have the level-headedness and calm of the doctor's Longbottom with them today, he understood. They dealt with pretty critical patients together, and Sirius would never want them to prioritize something as unimportant as this over someone's actual life.
"Your mom said you needed help with stuff,"
Flo chirped, breaking the sudden tension that had developed.
"Are we going to learn how to be sexy cowgirls? Because I've got loads of experience with that."
Mary snickered.
"Oh yeah, and in reverse, too."
Remus's low laughter kept Sirius from apologizing for his friends, which was good because he honestly thought it was a bit funny, himself, and let them see him grin rather than try to play it cool like an upstanding member of society and not the total degenerate he was around them.
"Not quite that type of cowgirling,"
Remus said.
"And once I knew y'all were coming, I took care of pretty much everything this morning and called in a couple of favors. But I want to show off this place. How do y'all feel about horses?"
Lily, Sirius knew, had a rather irrational fear of horses, but he'd been working with her on it for a year or so now. He'd bring her out to the stables where Narcissa still rode and introduce her to the calmer, less neurotic learner horses. She wasn't totally comfortable yet, but the woman was brave and stubborn as fuck, so Sirius wasn't all that surprised when she nodded.
"Sounds like fun."
While Flo, Mary, and James echoed her sentiment in varying and increasing degrees of enthusiasm, Peter looked pale at the idea of going anywhere near the horses, and Sirius cocked his head.
"All right, Peter. Feeling okay?"
Peter sneezed, so wetly, and grimaced.
"I am madly allergic to hay, actually. And horses. Zebras, too. Donkeys. I'm so sorry. I wanted to come, I didn't even think about."
Remus smiled and clasped him on the shoulder.
"Now don't apologize. You can hang out in the house and the AC until we get back."
"By myself."
Sirius would swear Peter's lip wobbled. The man had serious FOMO.
"I mean, you can always chill on the couch and watch TV or play with the dogs, but my ma loves talking to people and she's got a soft spot the size of Texas for white boys who speak Spanish."
Sirius didn't think he imagined the pink flush that colored Peter's cheeks.
"Oh, all right then."
Peter smiled shyly and brushed his blonde hair back from his sweaty forehead.
"I'll see if she needs any help. Sorry again."
Peter sorted. The rest of them followed Remus to the barn. James kept up a constant stream of chatter that Remus kept pace with, and Sirius hung back to loop his arms around Lily's waist from behind, Penguin walking with her. Lily laughed but didn't stop him, resting her cool hands atop Sirius's around her middle.
"You're in a good mood,"
she teased lightly.
"He's been buggered 12 ways to Tuesday. I'd be in a good mood, too."
Mary giggled.
14, actually,"
Sirius corrected smugly.
"You're going to get on a horse."
"You're..."
Flo snorted.
"He's meant to be rubbing you off, not rubbing off on you."
Sirius rolled his eyes and smirked when Lily swatted Flo's arse in reprimand.
"It's cute,"
Lily scolded.
Mimicking speech patterns and phrases is a natural and normal part of a relationship. Or did you not start saying Bab and Mom when you started dating Mary?
Maybe Lily wasn't cross. Maybe James didn't tell her. One of those was far more likely than the other, but Sirius didn't know which. Flo pouted.
Yeah, it's so cute I might explode.
She scowled, but winked at Sirius over her shoulder and jumped up onto Mary's back.
What? I'm practicing. Yippee-ki-yay.
Sirius hadn't gotten a good look at the other horses in the barn before, having been focused on things far more pressing, like his erection, previously. He hadn't realized the Lupins had so many. There was Azula and Eric, of course, and then several more heads poked through the stall windows in all manner of color and markings. Remus really must be doing all right for himself if he could afford to keep all of them. Not that Sirius was doubting it, just, well, the proof was literally grabbing him by the shirt sleeve.
Hello, you.
Sirius chuckled, gently pushing the velvet muzzle of the horse, a dark bay, away from his borrowed shirt.
It's a nice shirt, right?
Sirius caught Remus's eye and grinned. He wasn't sure if this horse met the careful standards Remus had for guest riding, though, so he gave the bay one last pat before waiting in a semicircle with his friends.
Y'all ever ridden before?
Remus asked conversationally as he led Eric out by a head halter.
Think you can put his tack on, Mr. Eventer?
He teased. Sirius scoffed and took hold of the nylon rope.
Of course,
he said, only partly lying. The components were the same. He'd be fine.
A bit.
Lily answered to Remus's question.
I've been practicing with Sirius here and there. But I'm not frightened, but if you've a fat, slow one, or an older horse.
I gotcha.
Remus smiled at her and walked a few stalls down to bring out a graying black horse whose coat still gleamed.
This is Galaxy,
he introduced.
She's Azula's mama and my dad's favorite horse ever. She's about as old as I am and I know she's pretty big, but she's sound as an oak tree and doesn't need much guidance.
Sirius watched as Lily introduced herself to the mare, a tight feeling in his chest that wasn't entirely unpleasant. His dad's horse, the memories he must have, and to just be opening up about it. Sirius didn't think that, if Regulus hadn't woken up, that he'd be okay with letting anyone else ride his gelding thing. But he wouldn't sell him. Sirius still paid for his boarding and care without their parents knowing. It would just feel wrong. But Regulus was pretty protective over his things, and maybe Mr. Lupin hadn't been. Or maybe Sirius was overthinking things, he was, and Galaxy was just a gentle horse to offer to his less than confident friend.
Thought you had it sorted,
Remus whispered, suddenly behind Sirius, and close. Sirius jumped, grateful for Eric's sturdiness keeping him from stumbling, but Remus's hand on his hip didn't hurt either. Shit, had he zoned out.
You okay?
Yes. Yeah. I'm good. Just. This saddle is rather heavy, isn't it?
Remus fixed him with a look, and Sirius gave him his brightest, most winning smile until he could see Remus's resolve crumble.
Little shit.
Remus scoffed affectionately, and made quick work of setting the heavy western saddle on Eric's back.
Imagine you can handle the rest, yeah?
Remus asked, tugging gently at Sirius's ponytail. Sirius assured him that he could, because Eric was already politely opening his mouth for the bit, and as Sirius latched the bridle, he watched Remus help Flo and Mary each with their horses. Everyone sorted and the basics gone over, Remus nudged Azula into an easy walk to lead them all out into the open air. Sirius loved watching him ride and admired the strong line of his back as he brought up the rear of their group. God, he was a lucky man.
I'll show you all around, yeah.
Remus gave them a turn not unlike the one he'd taken Sirius on, but at a much slower pace. On any other repeat tour, Sirius might have gotten bored, but already knowing the basics of the place meant he could spend time just looking at Remus, memorizing every tiny, subtle expression change, every hitch of his breath as he laughed at a dirty joke Flo made, the sparkle of mischief in his eyes when he followed James's seemingly inane train of thought on a side story. They turned out into the pastures at James's pleading to please see a cow up close, and Sirius slowed Eric to keep pace with Lily. True to Remus's promise, Galaxy was an easy mare, gentle with her inexperienced rider, and Lily didn't look half as terrified as she did when she'd first mounted up. Sirius leaned over to pat Lily's knee, and got a small smile in return.
I know James told you,
Sirius said, just loud enough to be heard over the jingle of the tack but not alert the gossipy women ahead of them.
Are you upset?
I think you're mental,
Lily said after a heavy pause.
And it was a wildly irresponsible thing to do, both on a financial and social level, but...
She took a deep breath.
But he seems like a nice bloke.
He does, doesn't he?
Sirius melted a little when he caught Remus's eye as they pulled up close to the herd.
I'm a bit mad for him.
I know,
Lily said simply.
It looks good on you. It. Okay, we will be continuing this conversation later, but is that a baby cow?
Sirius followed her line of sight to a black scrap of a calf nursing from its mother close by and laughed when he saw James bring his horse, a paint of some sort, up to them.
Littles, look,
he exclaimed.
Remus says that's Australia.
Oh my god, what a cute little cockblock.
Mary cried off her horse but keeping a respectful distance from the nursing mother. Sirius's face flooded with heat, and his heart skipped several dozen beats when the calf lifted its head, showing off the white star on her forehead. When he looked up again, Azula and Remus stood in front of them, smiling and rubbing the back of his neck. Sirius looked away, desperate for some distraction, and found it in the shape of an enormous dog standing amid the grazing cattle, occasionally looking around but ignoring the horses and their humans.
Wait, whose dog is that?
Sirius was pretty sure he'd never seen that one before. The others were small, sleek things, fast and agile. The dog there was big, thick sable fur, a dense mane-like ruff, and a tail that curled over his back.
Oh him,
Remus smiled.
That's Carrot. He's one of ours. But he's a livestock guardian, so he doesn't really do the house dog life like this pampered girl,
he explained with a nod at Maria, who had apparently been following them this whole way. Sneaky thing.
Guardian. What's he guarding against?
Mary asked, looking around for any apparent danger.
Bears.
Well, yeah, actually.
Wait, what?
Let him finish, Mary.
Lily chided. Remus just shrugged.
There are bears and mountain lions and cougars out here, plus some coyotes, and there's been some wolf sightings lately. Haven't seen any of M myself, and they're mainly up in Tahoe, but urban sprawl has M coming down this way more and more. These ladies can handle themselves against the coyotes pretty all right, but I'd rather be safe than sorry, and Carrot's a fucking tank.
Sirius looked back out at the dog, who finally looked at them, and when he locked eyes with Remus, he wagged his tail and slowly ambled up to their little band.
Can I pet him?
Remus laughed.
He's probably gross as hell, but have at it. He doesn't do any tricks, though. When he's not having to make his own decisions out here, he gives all his brain cells to his brother Vimes, who should be, there he is.
Sirius turned to Flo's squeal, where a slightly smaller dog the same color and build as Carrot was nosing around at her horse's side bag, where Sirius knew oat cakes were kept.
A goat though basta ha,
Remus snapped. The other dog, Vimes, took several steps back, ears splayed out comically to the side, and loped away with one final longing look at the bag.
Sorry about him. He's a fat ass. Affectionately, I guess.
Remus rolled his eyes, but hopped off of as to give both dogs a scratch behind the ears when they came up to him. Vimes didn't seem to want anything to do with them now that treats were off the table, but Carrot's tail gave a slow, lazy wag as he submitted to Sirius's petting. His head was soft and a little droopy, from a copperhead snake bite when he was a puppy, Remus explained, and he was pretty manky, but Sirius wiped the dog grime off on his jeans in a very brave show of manliness.
They're on high alert with all the new babies,
Remus explained when an apparent noise had Carrot bounding off to investigate.
So do you, like, have a gun?
Flo asked, tapping her chin.
Other than the ones under your shirt,
she added with a saucy wink.
Sure,
Remus shrugged.
The perimeter is pretty secure and the other ranchers and I have good communication with each other and if a big predator is spotted, we'll alert the others. We might technically be competitors, but we do all care about our animals.
Remus showed them to another pasture with more cows with their calves and, with Maria's help and Remus's occasional direction, separated a calf from its mother in a side pen. His friends fawned over it, and Sirius tucked himself against Remus's side for the first time in over an hour, enjoying the warmth of him on his shoulder.
"Lils, we need one,"
James pleaded just as Remus kissed Sirius sweetly, and they sputtered in laughter.
"Remus, tell her it could absolutely be a house pet."
"Well,"
Remus drawled, offering him a sympathetic grin.
"Hate to say it, but unless you have the space for a pet that's gonna hit 1,000 pounds, I might have to agree with your missus."
1,000 pounds? Pfft, easy. That's nothing."
Lily rested her hand on James's forearm and shook her head.
"Babe, he means in weight. Not cash."
Realization dawned over James's face, and he visibly slumped.
"Oh."
He stroked the calf's back and let it suckle on his fingers, looking torn between delight and disappointment.
"Suppose that's a bit large for Chelsea."
Sirius made a mental note to discuss the Potter's larger property in Gowderby with James later, away from Lily's keen ears, and also to look up miniature cows. That would be a fine and perfectly normal wedding gift, right? Just wrap a bow around the neck and boom. Best man for life. James perked up by the time they got to their next stop, a chicken coop, all sorrow about a pet cow tossed to the winds. Remus poured a small scoop of seeds and dried corn into each of their cupped hands and unlatched a short gate to let them into the pen. Over a dozen birds swarmed them and the noise was riotous, all clucks and barks and squeals of laughter as the chickens gorged on their extra midday snack. Remus showed Flo and Mary where the nests were inside a very nice hen house and explained that while snakes were relatively common, he didn't just kill any that made it past the demonic-looking rooster watching them from its perch.
"Circle of life, whatever you want to call it. If one big snake comes and eats a couple of eggs a week, she'll keep a bunch of little ones out, and hell, we've got more eggs than we ever need."
Sirius found himself absolutely gobsmacked and overwhelmed by Remus's gentle heart, and was pretty subdued the rest of the tour. James, Flo, and Mary chattered on well enough to keep attention off of Sirius, and Remus was more often than not shaking with laughter. But Sirius felt Lily's piercing eyes on him at every turn. He wasn't bothered, though. She was looking out for him. She was letting him know that she was there, if he needed an out. Good woman, Lily Evans. They rode out to a largely unoccupied pasture at the end, the intention clear, to just look. The sun was setting, casting a cloak of purple and orange and pink across the field. Sirius relaxed in the saddle and just let himself be present for the moment, to soak in the beauty of this place without thinking about anything else. The sound of his friends' chatter faded away, and Sirius felt his breathing fall into pace with Eric's, easy and calm from their little trek. Sirius tucked a stray lock of hair behind his ear and caught Remus looking at him.
"What?"
he asked reflexively, tearing his eyes from the majesty before him. Remus smiled, a small, fleeting thing that still somehow managed to be drenched in so much affection it stirred up those pesky butterflies in Sirius's stomach.
"Te base matabiloso, always, but in this light, here, in my home."
Remus looked away, took a visible breath, and met Sirius's eyes again.
"You're breathtaking."
Sirius blushed and let the brim of the cowboy hat hide his face as he looked down at the saddle. God, he was a vain fucker, but Remus really knew how to say things he never heard before. Knew how to make him want to just float away with pretty, sincere words, make Sirius feel like an inexperienced teenager. And he looked absolutely amazing doing it, all golden brown even in the dying sunlight, a handsome figure in the saddle with his straight back and perfect posture.
"Thank you,"
Sirius whispered, shy and a little lost for words again. Back at the stables, Remus quickly unsaddled Azula himself but directed a suddenly there older man to take care of the rest.
"My favor,"
he explained to Sirius with a lopsided smile.
"Fixed his gaiter a month ago, figured a day's worth of work here was cheaper than a shop bill."
Sirius didn't even know how to broach the topic of Remus and alligators, so he didn't. Inside, in the God's Bless Central Aircon, they found Peter kneading dough next to Hope with accordion-heavy Spanish music playing in the kitchen. Hope plied them with crisp shots of tequila and heaping bowls of paella. And while Sirius didn't normally feel comfortable eating seafood from a landlocked place, and one that was practically a desert, At that, it smelled so damn divine that he decided to trust Hope's judgment on good ingredients without further thought.
Hope,
Flo began, her phone in her hand while she poured herself another glass of limeade from the pitcher on the table.
Are you on TikTok?
Oh, yes. I know it sounds a little silly, a woman of my age on TikTok, but Remus's friend Marlene kept sending me the videos, and then I saw someone else do little ones of their animals, so I started.
There was a fetching blush on her face, bringing out the gold of her eyes like it did Remus's. And Sirius knew then and there that no matter what happened between him and Remus, he would always love Hope Lupin.
I'm trying to get Remus to do some of those dancing things, pero he won't humor me.
Remus pointed his fork at her between bites and shook his head.
I don't dance for free, Mama.
His tone was stern, but there was a light in his eyes that easily told Sirius this was a long-standing but light-hearted argument between them.
I do all my thirst trapping on the clock.
You could get paid by TikTok,
Mary said brightly, tapping away at her phone before gasping, holding up her screen, and giggling.
Are you Blue Moon Cattle Co? Of course you are. You're gorgeous. There's no mistaking you, Hope.
Mary placed her phone on the table and let a TikTok of Remus's mum tying different colored ribbons around tiny fuzzy yellow chicks play. Peter brought out a steaming plate of fried dough, grinning ear to ear.
Hope taught me how to make soapapillas,
he announced proudly. Peter was a damn good cook on his own, so Sirius chose to find some room in his stomach for the delectable treats. He followed Remus's lead and coated his in a generous drizzle of honey and a little cinnamon sugar.
Fudge, Pete.
Sirius moaned around the mouthful, correcting himself before swearing in front of his mother-in-law, oh fuck.
It's fantastic.
Only top-tier sweets made Sirius cast off his table manners and speak with his mouth open, that and when being a cheeky cocksucker. At the demand, because it was in no way a request, of his friends, and the enthusiastic permission from Remus, Sirius opted to stay behind for the night. He'd brought a bag, after all, and he really didn't want to spend any more time away from Remus than he would be forced to. Saying goodbye to his friends was a little sad, but Sirius was honestly a little ready for them to go. His day has been long, he'd gotten very little sleep, and well, he really just wanted more time with Remus before he had to fly back to London.
You wore out or you up for a little ride?
Remus was at his side, fresh from helping Hope put away the dinner dishes. Sirius's offer to help was shot down faster than a blink. Sirius glanced around Remus at Hope, definitely still within earshot, and raised his brows. Hope was cool with Remus's stripping and she clearly knew they were at least mostly sleeping together, but that was bold.
Yes.
Yes.
Who was he to turn down a ride from Remus, regardless of the circumstances? He'd sleep when he was dead. Remus's hopeful smile dimmed several levels.
We don't have to. You've had a long day of, well, of not a whole lot except watching me work.
That is hard work.
Sirius interrupted, affronted.
Right, right.
Remus chuckled and picked up Sirius's hand from where it lay on the counter.
But for real, if you're tired, we don't have to take the horses out again.
Wait, horses.
Sirius felt his face color, and felt the heat increase tenfold when Remus caught on to what Sirius just figured out.
Listen.
Remus pursed his lips, visibly trying not to laugh.
I'm all ears, darling.
Good. Because what I'm about to say is very important.
Sirius brought their joined hands closer and threaded their fingers together. Remus's were warm and a little soft from washing dishes, and Sirius wondered if he minded how cool Sirius's always were in comparison.
I always want to take the horses out. And?
Sirius leaned in close, his lips brushing Remus's cheekbone.
I'll always take a ride from you.
Remus's slow exhale felt like a triumph, and Sirius did his best not to preen.
We should settle the horses before I take you up on that.
There's always later.
Sirius teased, tightening his grip on Remus's hand before beginning the walk to the front door.
Sure you won't be too tired. Saddle sore.
Sirius scoffed and spun around to face Remus, free hand in his hip, but definitely not letting go of Remus's hand with the other.
Saddle sore. Pfft. Please. I'll bet I've been riding longer than you have, cowboy.
Remus laughed as he stepped into his boots at the door and graciously helped Sirius with his own when Sirius refused to let go of his hand.
Bold claim, princess.
Princess.
Remus cringed.
Not good.
Sirius rolled his eyes and made a show of inspecting his fingernails.
Not accurate. I'm so far removed from the line of succession, it's not even on my radar.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I'm technically titled and all, but we'd have to go back at least 4 generations to find some tie to the Windsor.
Sirius stopped, taking in Remus's shocked face. Shit. He'd been so caught up in this with Remus, he'd forgotten that most people weren't literal nobility.
Not good.
Remus blinked and shook his head before dipping in for a kiss, more reassuring than anything else he could have said in that moment.
Just unexpected. Not bad at all. Your Highness.
It's your lordship, actually. Well, at least until my grandfather and father die. Then it's your grace.
Of course it is,
Remus said, shaking his head again. He opened the front door and they stepped out into the warm night. The area in front of the house was dark save for a yellow porch light, but small LEDs set flush to the ground lit the path to the stables. With the door shut behind them, Sirius was suddenly very aware of the fact that he'd been holding Remus's hand hostage for nearly 10 minutes, and hastily dropped it.
So?
Remus grabbed his hand again and pulled Sirius close.
I like it. I like that you want to be close to me. It's nice.
He kept his voice low, and Sirius relaxed into it. The walk to the stables was dead quiet except for the crunching of the gravel beneath their boots, but as they drew near, the quiet sounds of horses reached his ears, soft snorts, gentle whickers turning into anticipatory whinnies as their favorite human, and treat bringer, totally not related, got close. Remus flipped on one set of lights and led Sirius to Azula's stall. Azula stuck her head through the opening and immediately started mouthing at Sirius's hair. Sirius laughed and pet her lovely face, thrilled that she seemed to like him so much.
Hey, gorgeous,
he whispered fondly.
Turncoat,
Remus accused his mare, fully occupied with Sirius, but his mouth was stretched in a wide smile.
You raised them from birth and train them and feed them and clean the shit out of their stalls, but the minute some pretty boy with a nice ass comes along, you ain't nothing to them.
Sirius stifled his laughter in Az's mane, trying to hold a composure of lofty entitlement. He had a few smart remarks on the back of his tongue, but all that came out was,
you think I'm pretty?
Remus's frown turned into a lopsided, crooked smile, charming beyond measure for its imperfections.
You know I do.
He gave a short chuckle and unlatched Az's stall to let her out.
Fishing for compliments, good God.
Sirius just beamed at him until Remus rewarded his bratty behavior with a chaste peck on the lips. Remus fetched Az's tack while Sirius guided her out of the stall, but Remus stopped him from walking to Eric's.
Man likes his sleep,
Remus advised.
Sugar and daisies in the sunshine, but he's a real mean nag when he's been woken up. Wanna ride with me?
Sirius paused, the question sending sparks of staticky glee running through him.
Is it? I mean, can she manage?
2 grown men was a pretty tall order for a horse. Remus put the saddle back on the rack and returned with a thick blanket.
She's sturdy, ain't ya, girl?
As neighed in apparent agreement.
We're not going far. If you'd prefer, I mean, we can just walk or grab one of the others. Soul ain't the smoothest or the smartest, but...
Sirius took the blanket from Remus and settled it across the mare's dappled back.
If it makes no difference to her, I'd really like that.
He blushed and felt very silly for it, but Remus's smile washed that negativity away. He did take a little help from Remus this time since there weren't stirrups or a saddle horn to help him on, and so Remus could get a good, firm grab of his arse. Sirius was shorter, though everyone was shorter than Remus, so he sat in front of Remus, who mounted up easily behind him, his muscular thighs spread on either side of Sirius's hips, knees hugging him. Sirius hadn't ridden tandem since he was a little kid, and it definitely didn't feel like this. Az carried them like she didn't give a flying fuck that there were 2 of them, and either knew where they were going or was responding perfectly to the gentle squeezing of Remus's heels and calves into her belly. Sirius would put money on either scenario, what with how smart the mare seemed to be and how well Remus rode her the other day. They rode well away from the warm lights of the barn, out through an open gate, following the fence line until they met another gate. Remus opened that one, and Sirius shivered at the chill his absence left on his overwarm back. Remus remained on foot, and walked alongside them up a beaten path up a hill, and has stopped at the crest. Remus looked at Sirius and smiled as Sirius slid off of Az's back, with far less grace than he'd intended because he was maybe a little bit saddle sore in more ways than one. Remus removed the blanket from the mare's back, handed her a treat from his pocket, and then a second when she called his bluff, and spread the blanket on the grass. Sirius joined him on the ground, every nerve distinctly aware that they were out in the middle of nowhere in the dark. Sirius wasn't afraid of the dark or anything, but this was essentially the wilderness. Mary had probably been joking, but Sirius was pretty sure there were actually bears and mountain lions and snakes in the area. And not cute Frank and Alice King Snake Loops kind of snakes. A rustling in the grass had Sirius pressing up against Remus with a gasp. But it wasn't a wolf that showed up, but Carrot, Sirius was pretty sure, from earlier.
Easy now,
Remus chuckled, smoothing his hand down Sirius's side.
Hey, bud.
He greeted the dog, and Sirius relaxed when he took up residence a few yards away.
Sorry,
Sirius murmured.
Don't be. It can be kind of spooky at first, but we're safe out here. I promise. I've got you.
Remus leaned in and kissed Sirius, questioning at first, but then hungry, ravenous, greedy, like the world had stopped turning and would stay frozen until they parted. His mouth was hot and slick on Sirius's and a little sticky, tasting of honey and a little bit of the tequila from dinner, and Sirius just drowned in it, in every single sigh and gasp and thud of their heartbeats. And when they pulled apart and his vision swam with the black-blown gold of Remus's eyes, so dark in the nearly non-existent lighting, Sirius's fear was gone. They lay together for what could have been 20 minutes or an hour, and Remus pointed out the crystal-clear constellations, challenging Sirius to name them. Sirius, of course, did one better and gave Remus the rundown of the legends surrounding them, and any family member named after the major stars. It felt good to show off this particular bit of useless knowledge, especially after watching Remus be so capable today. They cuddled and kissed and shared a careful cigarette, and when Remus snuffed out the butt on the heel of his boot, he drew in a deep breath that gave Sirius pause.
You spoke earlier about Kintsugi,
Remus began, slow and careful over the unfamiliar word.
And what it means. Do you think you're broken?
He spoke softly, gently, like to a spooked horse, and though Sirius blushed, he didn't feel judged or embarrassed. Sirius took a few seconds to respond, though, mulling over his reply. Yes, obviously, didn't exactly feel appropriate here, even if it was his knee-jerk response.
Honestly?
He asked instead.
Yes. I'm nearly 30 and I have shit all figured out. All of my friends have advanced degrees in really technical, lucrative fields, and they do good with them. They're health workers, for fuck's sake, and I have a master's in business and accounting and have absolutely nothing to show for it.
Sirius hadn't exactly meant to say all that, but once he started, he found that he couldn't stop. The tequila, the late hour, the open rawness of the sky above just pulled it from him. Sirius sighed.
I've never had a meaningful relationship. Until now.
Sirius could feel Remus's smile even inches away.
I have literally zero interest in a job, I drink and smoke too much, I'm vain as fuck, my parents hate me, and my brother thinks I'm a train wreck just waiting to happen.
Sirius exhaled sharply.
So yeah. Broken. Busted. Fucked up.
Remus wound his arms around Sirius's waist and pulled him close.
Nah.
He whispered into his hair.
All that just makes you human. Life ain't linear, darling. It doesn't happen the same way for everyone, and there's no predicting how yours is gonna go. Just gotta hang on and enjoy the ride.
But that's just it.
Sirius protested.
All I've been doing is going along for the ride. Aren't I meant to? Put down roots or something, start living for tomorrow instead of today, or some rubbish.
Remus's heartbeat was a steady, constant thrum, a soothing rhythm to Sirius's tumultuous thoughts.
Says who?
Remus asked bluntly.
You ain't gotta listen to no one but yourself and maybe your doctor. Sometimes.
Remus placed his finger on Sirius's lips suddenly, stopping the bubbling protest.
Your actual self, not the rude fucking sticker burr in your brain. Listen, would you say I've got my shit together, that I've made a good life for myself?
Sirius looked up again at the carpet of stars that topped the sprawling landscape, pasture as far as the eye could see with the faintest shadow of the mountains in the background.
Yes,
he said confidently. Remus had constructed a beautiful life for himself and had people who loved him.
Thanks. And yet, I don't got a college degree. I smoke and drink and fuck too much. My best friends are a dog and a horse. Hell, I'm a stripper for fuck's sake. Does all that fit in your perfect little outline?
Remus didn't wait for Sirius to reply. It was painfully obvious that Sirius's standards were torturously restrictive for himself and himself alone.
I'm not saying I'm perfect. Shit, there are loads of days where I hate myself and can barely get out of bed and think about all I could have achieved and never did. But then something miraculous happens, like a newborn calf or meeting a gorgeous British man with silver eyes and a beautiful smile and, yeah.
You're so fucking smart.
Sirius unintentionally blurted, clamping his mouth shut until Remus's breathy chuckles ghosted across his lips.
Nah. My ma has a saying for this, Cain nace para tamal, del cielo le caen las hojas. The literal translation is kinda weird, but basically, your destiny will find you. If I was meant to be a big-time bull rider all my life, I wouldn't have gotten wrecked by World of Pain, or maybe I'd have found a way to keep going. But all the mistakes and wrong turns and broken dreams brought me here.
To me,
Sirius said breathlessly. Gone were the bright stars and the smudge of mountains. His entire world filled once again with Remus.
To you.
Remus kissed Sirius sweetly, slowly, like he might break, might splinter and turn into dust to be carried off on the wind if he dared move too quickly. Each time they kissed felt different, somehow. One moment it could be burning, scorching, a grease fire, then a raging wildfire slowly consuming a forest. Or this painstakingly slow, loving swell of shared emotion that Sirius couldn't keep denying the name of. Remus broke the kiss but didn't pull back. He remained close to Sirius, pressing their foreheads together, sharing breath, sharing space, sharing looks of adoration and deep, primal understanding.
Besate es como beit las estelas,
he whispered against Sirius's mouth, his face so close Sirius swore he felt the gentle brush of his eyelashes.
Translation, please.
Sirius pleaded quietly, desperate to know. Remus smiled and kissed him once more.
It's never as pretty in English. Kissing you is like seeing the stars.
Well, Sirius could only drag him back down for a few more minutes of star-studded bliss after that, and tucked his head in throbbing, kiss-bruised mouth into the warmth of Remus's neck after.
How about instead of filling our breaks and cracks with gold, let's be fully gilded. Plated. Gold leaf pressed into hymnals or something.
Sirius privately thought any hymns would burst into flames if the likes of him and Remus were ever exposed to them, but felt himself nodding.
Yeah, all right.
Sirius conceded, still a little winded by the visceral acceptance he felt.
Thanks.
Remus cupped his face and kissed Sirius's forehead.
Never let anyone tell you there's something wrong with you.
He said it fiercely, like it was personal, something he battled.
You're fucking perfect.
I'm not.
Sirius protested instinctively.
You've only known me for a bit. You'll see.
Sirius shook his head.
Never mind.
Remus grabbed Sirius tight and rolled them so Sirius more or less laid atop him.
It's okay. Tell me, if you want.
Sirius frowned, feeling exposed and seen. He wasn't upset, just bare. Raw. He swallowed hard.
James jokes that I'm basically a dog with a bone with my boyfriends. I get, not jealous, because I'm fucking fit and all, but possessive. I guess. Not toxic, like I don't think. I've been cheated on before, a lot, and my past trauma isn't your present problem, but ugh. I don't know. I shouldn't have said anything.
They were having a nice time and he'd had to go and ruin it. Well done, Black. Remus's hands rubbed soothing circles on the backs of Sirius's jean-clad thighs.
That's not gonna be a problem with me,
he promised, sincere in a way that made Sirius's mouth go dry.
Unless, okay. Shit. Okay. Let's, big question time.
Ominous, but yes.
Sirius tried to lighten the suddenly tense mood, but all he got was a sliver of a grin in return. Remus took a steadying breath and looked up at the stars straight past Sirius.
You gonna be okay with me dancing? Because I like you a lot, but it's how I make.
Remus.
Sirius interrupted.
What? Of course. Why wouldn't I be?
Sirius watched Remus's Adam's apple bob as he swallowed.
I mean, you just said it yourself. You're sorta possessive.
Sirius grimaced and stared at the grass under Remus's head, like a bug would crawl out with the answer to all his problems if he looked hard enough.
I mean, valid. But it's your job. You love it. And you're, you know, legitimately and legally, still, married to me. And, ugh, we both agreed to stop apologizing for how deep in this we are, so this is me not apologizing about it. I trust you. 2. Be honest. To not hurt me needlessly. 2. Tell me if something with a customer feels significant or whatever.
So you're perfectly fine with me taking my clothes off in front of other people who want to fuck me. Sorry. I just gotta know you're serious.
Look.
Sirius sat up to straddle his waist and spread his hands and placed one on the firm flatness of Remus's stomach. He could feel his heartbeat through his shirt. Faster now. Nervous.
Just. Don't go giving your hat to anyone else. Kay.
Remus's smile was slow to unfurl, but as it bloomed, it lifted an elephant's weight of trepidation from Sirius's mind.
Deal.
Would it be wildly inappropriate to accost you in your breaks, though? Just for a snog.
Remus chuckled and slid his hands up Sirius's waist.
Just a snog.
He echoed, mimicking Sirius.
Yeah, a little one. Tiny. Quick. For quality assurance, like. And kissed lips look way sexier, besides.
My breaks are pretty long sometimes, but if you want to spend 20 minutes in the dressing room getting the lits kissed out of you, who am I to stop you?
Remus curled up to kiss Sirius chastely.
Alternatively, you could get a blowjob or, if you're real good, fuck me between sets on Saturdays.
Saturdays were his mechanical bull days, Sirius knew, and the thought of Remus going back out to his adoring crowd to ride after Sirius rode him made his whole body flood with heat.
But we'll burn that bridge when we come to it.
Remus finished, smirking.
You still with me, darling?
So with you.
Sirius wheezed, cupping himself through his restrictive jeans. Remus's laugh was gentle and kind, and he looked up at him like he was looking at Sirius's celestial namesake, awed and captivated.
This is gonna work, you know,
Remus said.
Us. I can feel it. I know you can, too.
Sirius nodded and lowered himself down to drape across Remus's body, coaxing him into several minutes of long, sensual kisses that left his lips throbbing and heart fit to burst.
Hey, would you like to come to James and Lily's wedding with me? I'll cover everything, whatever you need. Don't worry about logistics, just about if you want to go.
Sirius stopped himself from continuing into a full ramble, choking down platitudes and assurances for things that hadn't come up yet.
Sorry, not thinking about practically. Right. Yeah. Yes. I really would, if I'm allowed.
Sirius could vibrate out of his skin with joy, but he settled for a wiggle and a giddy smile.
More than. James told me to invite you before I even thought to ask.
Remus grinned and stroked a hand through Sirius's hair.
Am I allowed to ask about logistics now?
No. That's a future problem, and one best solved over breakfast.
Good. Because I'm done talking about heavy shit right now.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
There was a gleam in Remus's eyes that made Sirius's breath catch.
So what do you want to talk about, then?
Anticipation, like carbonation, fizzled not unpleasantly in his stomach.
Oh, just how exactly you're gonna fuck me until I forget my own name.
Sirius rolled off of Remus and got to his feet in a flash, a little lightheaded from the sudden reallocation of his blood supply elsewhere, but remained upright. Azula got up, too, shaking her mane out, and Carrot leapt to his paws, observing.
No time to waste, cowboy.
Sirius teased when Remus remained prone.
Giddy up.